guys, what's up? Welcome back to Latinx. We just have an announcement before we get into the episode. There's a lot, you know, happening right now, 99 more days till voting. And we really just want to encourage everybody that there is a lot of info out there. Melanie was actually just mentioning some very important information due to COVID, obviously, and how we can, like, move around these things. Go ahead, Melanie.
Yes, so everyone that is registered to vote will be receiving a mail ballot for the November general election. You'll be receiving it by, I think, October 5th, around there.
Yeah.
So make sure you are registered to vote. You can double-check at voterstatus.sos.california.gov. Usually, just the people that are registered to vote by mail receive the mail by ballot, but this time, due to COVID, everyone will be receiving it. So, yeah, just make sure you're registered to vote.
Yeah, especially if you moved. Make sure you're registered to vote. Like, you... Sorry, I'm eating a paleta over here. But every... From the paletero man. But every time you move, you got to make sure you're registered to vote. So, thanks, guys.
Enjoy the episode. Everyone, we're back at Latinx Nation. I'm your host, Sal, along with my amazing co-host. We got...
Carla. What's up, everybody?
Melanie, hi.
Yeah. I'm glad to be back on the show.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to this episode, and we have a lot of good stuff coming for you. We have a few shout-outs before we start. First shout-out is someone brought it to our attention that we should be talking more about the Army paratrooper that he died mysteriously after a camping trip. A few months back, is that the right word to say it?
Yeah, it was.
It was Specialist Enrique Roman Martinez. He was washed up on the shore of North Carolina after he went camping out in the Outer Banks with a few of his Army buddies that were in the same platoon. He died mysteriously and his dismembered body was found. So that's something that we're going to be talking about. Thank you, Raul, for bringing that more into our attention, that we should be talking more about what happened to him, and just hopefully that some kind of news comes out and see what can be found out about his case.
Yeah.
So thank you for letting us know, and we have something coming up in the future for that.
Yeah. Yeah, guys. I mean, if you guys have, like, episodes or ideas or topics you want to talk about, like, please DM us, email us. We're always really open, and especially when it comes to, like, justice or education, when it comes to growth, whether it's in our Latinx culture or even outside, that it's just revolving all of us as humans. Like, we'd love to hear about it, especially with Enrique. Like, we've been on this series talking about Vanessa and still bringing justice for her, you know, not staying quiet, like, thinking that it's a trend. You know, until justice is brought, like, we are still speaking loud and proud and, like, trying to bring justice for the ones that weren't able to speak up. So,
also for Breonna Taylor, too.
Yeah,
that way that doesn't get tossed out of the woodwork.
You know,
we have to find out what's going on and see if they're ever going to get arrested. The three officers that
So, you know, those topics, like, right now, I think that people are just, like, it's so social media driven. It's so, like, oh, it's in the trend. Oh, this is happening. Let's forget about it now because now something new is coming up. And it's like, no, like, they are dead. They're not here anymore. Like, they are gone because of police brutality, because of racism, because of injustice. And we need to speak up about those things, because just because it's not... there's not protests happening every day, which they are, by the way.
Uh-huh.
We're just
especially in Portland, that's finally gaining attention now.
Yeah, which we're just probably just not seeing it as much.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's those things are still happening. There's a lot of opportunities that are out there right now for a lot of us to let our voices be heard for those that didn't get a chance. So
exactly.
So please reach out to us, guys. Like, definitely let us know if there's somebody you want us to, like, talk about and really just bring awareness, like, you know, like you were talking about Enrique. We were aware of Enrique. We were just on a trend about Vanessa and trying to figure out what's happening in that case. Thankfully, like, things are starting to get done. I hear that they're going towards, like, the White House trying to talk about, like, certain restrictions that are getting put on, like, military and, like, harassment and all this. So, things are being done. Things are being done. So don't let it, like, unmotivate you thinking that things aren't happening. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, we got to keep going.
We also have to make sure that it's done correctly and not in a way where it's done lazily.
Yes, very true, very true. So yeah, thank you for that. I forgot about that.
Thank you, Raul. Thank you for all that.
Second shout out is, so there's gonna be a, so it's called Urban Organizers Coalition. It's a meeting, it's a, what is it? A meet place for organizers of social injustice to network and collaborate. And it's gonna be on August 1st. We'll put it on our story so you guys can get the exact address, but it's like 646 West PCH at 7 p.m. They are really just, if you guys are out there and able to come to it, please, like, any input, whether in whatever leadership you're in, or even if you're not, like, any opinions, any, like, help would really be helpful if you come out there and, like, bring a group together in a sense.
Yeah, man, this is for the community. We want the community to be there.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm hoping to be there too.
Yeah, so that's next week. Is that next week?
That's next week already.
Wow, we're slow. Yeah, no, it's this Sunday. It's this week.
Oh, dang.
Saturday.
See, the end and the first of the month always get me confused.
Yeah, that's crazy. We're flying through time here.
But it's coming. It's coming real fast.
Yeah, so, which that leads to, like, our guest for this week. We have Anthony. He was able to give us this information. Super excited to have Anthony on our episode. He organized the protest yesterday, and it looks like it went really well. We've heard that it went really well, and I'll let Anthony introduce himself.
Hi, guys. I'm Anthony Bryson. On Instagram, I'm known as Ionic Boom. That's my tag. You can follow me if you want.
Cool.
Really dope name, by the way.
I know. That's what Natalie said earlier last week. She's like, Ionic Boom. Yeah,
cool. If I was a superhero, that would be my superhero name. Ionic
Boom. Nice. That is pretty dope. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the protest yesterday. What was the motive behind it? What was the vision? How it went?
And what was your part on it?
Yeah.
Well, definitely. Okay, so I was the organizer of it all. I was hanging out with a friend of mine, Satan Flores, who lives in North Long Beach, and we were just, you know, hanging out, and I had got this message in my DM about, like, how the murderer of Vanessa was a black man, and how the street vendors who were being attacked were attacked by black people, and how there shouldn't be unity between, you know, blacks and Hispanics or Latinos.
Yeah.
And my friend, who is, you know, Hispanic, he is Latino, he, you know, one of my best friends, he's like, man, you should do something about this, you know, we should do something about this. And I was like, you're right, you know, like, I have El Salvadorian.
Yeah. We're Salvies over here, too.
So it's like, this is my community. We're all in it together, you know? Like, if I see a black person, a white person, or any person harassing a street vendor, I'm going to speak up. I'm going to say something about it, you know?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, what happened to Vanessa happened, and it was a black man who did it, but that just goes to show that we need to pay more attention to the mental health in our community, in our society, and of our colored people. You know, black men are afraid to seek mental health, you know, because it's just, we live in a society that's traumatizing alone. So where can we really find help? You know, as a colored person in America, we all struggle. And I wanted to put something together to help us all realize that we're in it together, you know. Latin issues are important to black people. They're important to me. I'm a black man, and I am upset to see, you know, thousands of children displaced from their homes and put in cages by this administration. It's upsetting to me, and it hurts, you know?
Yeah.
I may have may not have any direct, you know, family members or lineage affected by what's going on in the Latin community, but the fact that it's affecting my neighbors, it's affecting me, you know, and I wanted to show a sense of unity. I wanted to have the city come out together and show that the only way we can get real change is if we all fight each other's fights. Mm-hmm. We're stronger in numbers, you know?
Yeah.
And our lives matter as colored people. And you know, the systemic racism that's in place, embedded in the system, is killing all of us. And we need to come together and not fight about it, not fight over it, but help each other through it.
Yeah. I like that that's what the motive behind this protest was, because, you know, bringing unity between not only like the African-American culture, but as well within the Latinx culture and other cultures that are surrounding us as well within the like people of color. And because we were just talking about that a few episodes ago, that how can we like defeat that, you know, where it's like, oh, you were all standing out there for George Floyd, but now that Vanessa's dead, you're not supporting us. And it's like, dude, like, so there's a lot of like bickering at each other, and like the Latinx with the African American community, the BLM movement, like, why aren't you helping us here? And then like, so it's like, how can I ask the question to like, just a, it was an open end question, right? And a thought of mine, like, how can we defeat that?
Yeah.
And I mean, there's the answer, you know, well, one of the many answers, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the many answers.
Like, I'm constantly educating myself too. Like, Latinx is a term, you know, I'm not really familiar with. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and it's important to educate ourselves and diverse, you know, diversity is the key, you know? Like, even some of my Latin friends may not understand all that's going on in their own community, mm-hmm. you know? So, you know, like, it's an eye-opener that, unfortunately, it took someone, you know, basically sending me a dirty message to open my eyes to say, like, hey, you know, I need to start repping both, you know? It's not just about, you know, what the victim that's going on to George Floyd, you know? Police brutality is affecting all of us on all levels, locally, you know, county, statewide. You have the federal police and what they're doing to the Latin community, and what they're doing in Portland is just unacceptable. And I just want to draw awareness and as much as I can to let people know, like, hey, we need to be in this together. No matter the color of your skin, what's wrong is wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely true. I mean, like, another point that I had brought up was the perspective that this system wants to break us down, because they know the power behind us. They know the power behind, like, our voices and our persistence and, like, the power that we carry as, like people of color. Like, we really, like, there's so much power behind us. And the system wants to break that down, you know? And it's like, oh, hey, you see this, like, colored person did this to your people. And it's like,
what are you going to do about it? It's like, no, there's no separation that should be done.
Yeah,
you know, and a lot of people ask me that, like, oh, you want to speak out about this, but what about black-on-black violence? And I'm like, well, what about, what's it called when two white men fight each other? Is that called white-on-white violence? No, we don't have a name for that, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to help break through those barriers.
Definitely, you know? Definitely. So how did the...
What's the protest? Oh, yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was like, as far as the protest, I feel like it was a big success. We had about, like, maybe 90 or even 100 people.
Wow.
It was really good. It started off really small, but then we, you know, we were out there making noise, and people started to join us. We started to occupy each main street as we marched down Ocean Boulevard. We, you know, stopping at Pine, Orange, Linden, Alamitos. Just creating a big circle of love and just chanting, you know, against police brutality, Black Lives Matter, Brown Lives Matter. We were chanting it all, you know, just trying to show the city that this disruption, if it makes you feel uncomfortable, like, that's what I want. I want you to feel uncomfortable. I want you to get pissed off in your car, you know, because you're not going to start thinking about the issue that brought us out there, right? You're going to be like, these people made me late for work. Man, now you're thinking, though. Now your mind is on that issue. Now your mind is like, what were they chanting? They were chanting unity, unity, unity. Okay, So it's something about unity. It's just, I want to provoke that thought. I need that disruption. We need to, because the status quo cannot continue to be the way it is.
Yeah.
No,
so that disruption, no matter how it is, it needs to continue until we get the change that we all need.
Yeah, very true. I like that, like corrupting that thought, like, you know, or what was it that you said, you just said it, he corrupts the,
I want to say system, I don't know if you said system.
No, like, you said a word.
Well, disrupting.
Disrupting. There you go. Yeah, I really like that. You know, I really like how that's like, you're disrupting that, like, that thought right there.
Yeah.
And I think that's like a very like wise thing, because you're not necessarily like being violent. You're not being vulgar. You're not. You're literally just chanting one word of unity and be like, huh, I wonder what, like, I've had that where it's like, we've driven through like Torrance and there's a protest crossing the street and my boyfriend and I were like, I wonder what they're saying, you know, like, oh, and then we started talking about the BLM movement, and he's a Afro-Latino, and I mean, he moved out here when he was 16, like, he doesn't really, like, understand this whole, like, he understands it now, like, but when he was younger, he didn't understand, like, how the system worked here in the States, and so it was like a good opportunity to like see that protest and then actually start asking them those questions, like, how do you feel? Like, have you faced racism? Like, have people been racist towards you? And yeah, I mean, it sparks up good conversation.
Yeah.
And then it sparks up these like ideas, like, what can we do as individuals? If, for example, if I don't want to go out to protest due to like COVID or certain situations, whatever it is, like, how can I do, what can I do?
Yeah.
You know? So
definitely. Well, I have some suggestions for that. Like, I'm with Caravan for Justice, and they do all their protests, a majority of their protests, by car. So, you know, if you have the ability to caravan with someone or be the driver of a caravan, we're always posting stuff. I just am into organizing marches and things like that. So that's why I reached out to Caravan for Justice to help me with this. I reached out to LB Strong. I reached out to Latinx Nation and Radical Love Long Beach. Just, I wanted to really bring the community together, you know, but it's hard to do with COVID, facing COVID.
Yeah.
If you're going out, I definitely want to say wear a mask, you know, have some hand sanitizer. You can still social distance yourself and still speak out, you know, or from home, start posting things that are going on, having those conversations at home, even if you're not going out and protesting, but you're having those conversations with your mom, your dad, or your kids, or your grandparents, and just helping to change the mindset of America. Because what's most important to me right now is getting Trump out of the White House. And we're less than 100 days away from election. And so
like
that's something I'm working
days.
On right now, is I'm doing a voter drive.
Okay.
And I know a lot of different organizations are doing a voter drive, but I'm also looking for volunteers. So if anyone is interested, they can definitely hit me up in the DM.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely, we're 99 days away from election.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we really need to come together. Trump may be trying to do some last minute plays to appeal to the people of color, you know, because believe it or not, a lot of people of color follow Trump. And you know, it's time that we reach out as people of color, reach out to our family members, reach out to our loved ones, and let them know that we love them, and let them know that what is right and what is wrong, you know, and that it's time to change, you know, that change needs to come now. Like, you know, their generations have tried and some succeeded, but the fight never ends.
Yeah, it's true. I definitely appreciate that you brought up the topic about voting. I think that is like one of the biggest keys that we have as like resident citizens, you know, people that live here in the States. Like, we have been given that privilege to be able to like vote and really, but educate ourselves.
Yeah.
Like,
that is the strongest tool. If I can say, that's the strongest tool as citizens, as residents, as you were saying, that we have to actually make a difference that we don't utilize, because we were taught that it won't make a difference. Somewhere down the line, it was taught to us that it won't make a difference, and that's not true. Like, like you two were saying earlier, there is power in the people. There's power in how many of us there are. But yeah, there's not enough of us that are willing to be educated or that even had the chance to be educated to even vote.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I think these protests, these posts on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever platforms people are using, like, they're so helpful. Like Radical Love, I see them posting constantly about the voters educating and like getting them educated, and I'm excited to like really just be a part of that and really educate myself personally. Like, I've shared this on the platform very, very many times. Like, my first time voting was last year, like, you know, and it was just like, cause I, you know, and I'm 28 years old. I was in that mentality. Yeah. And I was in that mentality of voter suppression. Like,
we sat down and talked about it.
Yeah. Where it's like, I don't need to vote. Like, that system is corrupted anyways. Like, why does my vote matter? And it's like, then he sat me down and we talked about it. And I'm like,
she literally stopped my day when she said that she believed that her vote didn't matter. And I'm like, hold up.
Yeah.
Hold up.
Right. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's so true. Because I have so many friends like that. Like, the last two elections, I literally took my friends to the polling place, you know, all my neighbors. Like, I'm like, we're going, like, and, you know, if you guys come vote, we'll smoke on the way, you know, like, some incentive or something, you know, like, like, man, because people, a lot of people in California feel that way, that their vote doesn't matter, you know, and a lot of people of color feel that way, like, their vote doesn't matter. But I always try to tell people that they're actively out there trying to suppress your vote already.
Yeah.
So don't give them the power.
Yeah.
You start by taking away the power by using your vote.
Mm-hmm.
You use your vote, they're going to already, every election cycle, every news channel is saying, well, you think the blacks will come out to vote? You think the Latins will come out to vote? You know, what about the college educated? They'll come out to vote.
Yeah.
What about the youth? They're always wondering who's going to come out to vote, and they're saying, you know, the youth won't come out, blacks won't come out, Latinos won't come out.
Yeah.
It's time that we start showing them that we're here, and we don't accept their ageism. We don't accept their racism. We don't accept their sexism.
Mm.
And we're going to start changing it because we have the numbers to change it.
Hell yeah.
You know, like California, we need more representation in Congress. And so how do we get that? We need to start putting stuff like that on the ballot. We need to start voting for things that matter to us and, like, educating our communities about these issues. Because if you look at this 2020 election, there's a lot of powerful propositions on this election coming up, including, you know, cash bail is an issue, lowering the voting age is an issue, what is affirmative action is again an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, things recycle. Things
exactly. These aren't new topics.
That a lot of stuff as long as we're out there voting. You know.
Yeah, definitely. Is there any organizations or platforms that you recommend that people go to educate themselves, like if this is their first time voting or really just there's newer things on the ballot, what would you recommend?
Okay, so more locally, close to home stuff, I would say definitely follow Caravan for Justice, follow Latin Nation X, follow Radical Love Long Beach, follow LB Resources, follow LB Strong for Long Beach specific voting information. But in LA and the greater Los Angeles area, or even anyone in California, I would say, you know, go to lavote.net, and that will provide you a lot of information that will let you know your polling place. It will give you the propositions, it will give you the candidates and backgrounds about the candidates. That's another issue of mine. Make sure you're educating yourself on your candidates, not just voting for them because of their namesake, but because you know that they're really going to represent you.
Yeah.
And if you don't like the candidates that are up there, you can become a candidate yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, I was hoping to relay during my march yesterday. We need unity. We need more people of color out there speaking up, speaking out. I want to see more women of color on these ballots, you know, because it's all these women issues are showing up on our ballots about women's health. And so it's time that we start having more women of color represent their needs and their issues, their communities. In fact, they're our mothers, you know. It was a woman of color who made me you know, and so.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
Okay, so LA, what was it? LA, the website?
LAvote.net, yes.
LAvote.net. No, you're fine. No, yeah, so LAvote.net, I think that's like a great resource. And then another thing that the Natalies had mentioned like a while back, this was like before they had like come up with like Radical Love, and so they do something that they do like election parties, I think, or they like I'll have to like get the details about it from them, but I know they do something where they hang out with their friends and they each get like a runner or like a candidate, and they are focused to just studying him and or her, or they just like, and then they come back together and then they share like, hey, look, I found this about this candidate and this about this candidate. These are the pros, these are the cons. And then they really start like evaluating it. And so I think things like that, like I bring that up because like I think things like that are so healthy, not only for our voting, like the voting purposes, but as well to like help your friends grow.
Yeah.
And really like educate them, you know, because like sometimes going to these websites or these like events where it's like a lot of information can become overwhelming, especially for newer people that have never gone to events like that or talked about things like that. So it's like being able to like have a friend be like, hey, let's sit here and just talk. Let's sit here and just watch the debate. Let's sit here and read this. Like, let's read our ballot. Like, how does this ballot work? What am I supposed to do? You know, like,
exactly.
As simple as that. Like, and there's no shame in not knowing how the ballot works, because
exactly.
I am guilty as charged. Like, that thing was so confusing to me when I first saw it for the first time.
That's right, and they don't teach it in school, you know?
No. Which is like...
They should.
Yeah.
They should.
Voting day should actually be a holiday.
Yeah. Really, like, I think, you know, those are things that we should really be learning about, like, in school, and I mean, there's a lot of things we should be learning in school. But yeah, it's definitely, so I think that's just like another key that I give out, you know, to the public is hang out with your friends and, I don't know, go get some burgers and talk about politics in a healthy way.
Well, I was going to say is like, that's a really healthy way to actually learn about what's going on in like the political system that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
One main thing is, there's no point in you growing on your own. You know, you want to bring up the people that surround you and get them to know about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So what the Natalie's doing with the election parties, that's really dope.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's more people out there doing that, but we got to make sure that even more people start incorporating that in like their friend group, you know,
yeah.
or in their own families.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely true. Melanie, how do you go through your ballots and educate yourself?
No, I think what like Sal said, like, by like communicating with other people, like learning like other people's viewpoints as well.
Uh-huh.
That way you're not only sticking to like one viewpoint, but you're learning about all these other different things. And I think like asking questions, that's something that I always do.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
with anything, I feel like asking
yeah.
questions is like helps you like learn more.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
About anything.
That's so true. And
yeah.
To be quite honest, that's the only way I got through school. I asked every single damn question that I could have in order to understand. Even if I look dumb, I'm like, yo, I don't know.
Yeah. That's why my first year of college was hard, because I hate asking questions. I get so nervous. I get, like, social anxiety. And
it's
I'm
intimidating,
like,
right?
I definitely I'm that type of person. So being able to me, like, the way that helps me grow is I go to protest events or I really just like tune in on like podcasts and like I like to just like hear about it, like, okay, wait, what does that mean? And then I start searching or I start researching, right. You know, so like connecting with others and learning with others is kind of hard for me because of the social anxiety, but then when that's broken, it's like, yeah, it definitely is very helpful.
And I feel like platforms like this that aren't meant to persuade people, it's just meant to inform people, is what's really helpful, you know, like, I don't want to convince anyone of my opinions. I just want to let you know, and I want you to formulate your own thoughts and opinions about what I've experienced and what others have experienced that are trying to talk through what we have here, you know?
Yeah.
I want people to know what it is that's going on, and you think about it yourself, what you could do or what you think of the situation.
Definitely.
definitely. Yeah, during the protests, while we're going through the like neighborhood areas of Goshen, we were chanting, "Get up, get out, it's time for change." Mm-hmm. And we were chanting that to the people in the houses, is what I had told everyone before we get going. This is what I want to chant during the neighborhood, while we're in the neighborhoods, because that's what we need. We need everyone to get up. We need everyone to get out. We need everyone to know that it's time for change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately, it's hard to educate your friends when it's hard to even try to educate yourself, you know,
yeah.
when you have to add, when, like, for me to, like, I said before in my speech, I was in special ed in high school. I didn't know how to read in the ninth grade. And I learned how to read that summer, and I eventually made it up to 12th grade reading level and was let out as special ed. Then I went on to go to Cal State Long Beach and study molecular biology.
Wow.
I study and am still learning Spanish.
Nice.
I did my speech actually there in Spanish. Learned and still practicing Mandarin.
Nice.
So it's
learning
like
Mandarin.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mandarin.
That's awesome.
And it's because like I was so confined in the mindset the world wanted me to be in.
Right.
You know, the world was telling me that I was not enough, that I could not achieve these things. But
yeah.
I lived for my dream, and I lived to make my dream a reality. And so that's why I had to push myself, and it was hard every single day. And knowing that, knowing how hard it was, I know that it's hard for everybody who's not, you know, not really woke to like what's going on out there, you know, because there's still a lot of struggles that I don't even know and cannot even imagine to relate to, you know?
Yeah, that
but
is crazy.
I'm still trying to educate myself, and I'm still trying to educate the people around me, and that's all I ask of anybody is, like, if you know something, say something, tell your friends, educate them, you know, let them know what's going on.
For sure.
You know?
For sure.
Like, even as friends, community, society, we need to be more open with each other. We need to have more dialogue with each other. We need to be able to understand and process each other's feelings so that we can heal together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I really believe that, you know, someone else's life story is a solution for another.
Mm.
Wow, that's really well put.
Yeah, I like that. That's very true. It is very true. Being able to birth these conversations, you know, that have been for so long either traditionally just like suppressed or systematically suppressed. And I think being able to birth these conversations, whether it's like politics, racism, you know, sexuality, there's so many out there where it's like, I mean, I think being able to be the one that births those conversation, like, it opens up a whole part of your brain where you're like, we can talk about these things.
Yeah.
And we don't have to, like, kill somebody over this. We don't have to, like, fight over this. We don't have to hate on somebody over this. Like, no, it's just, like, building that dialogue.
Yeah, we're building something where we get to get rid of that stigma, you know?
Yeah, that stigma, definitely. That's where it's at. The stigma is stigmatizing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's very true. So you grew up here in Long Beach?
No, I came out to Long Beach after doing disaster relief work with Friendships United. And so I was doing hurricane response. Immediately after high school, I did that. I was in the mission field for a while doing that. And then I battled with myself and my sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I was put into a program in Los Angeles at the Dream Center, which is like kin to Pray the Gay Away.
Yeah, wow.
And I ultimately just left that program overnight. I just went walking and 18 hours until I realized I had an aunt who was living out in Long Beach. And that was in 2010. And so I've been out here since. And my aunt, God rest her soul, but she was an achiever, and she pushed me to get back into school. She pushed me to go back to LBCC and get into Cal State Long Beach. She motivated me, and she drove me. And women of color don't get enough credibility when they help anyone, you know. And I try to bring that attention to all my rallies, all my marches, you know, because like I say, I came from a woman of color. So if you're amazed by me, you know, be amazed by what made me.
Yeah, damn.
Damn.
That's deep. That needs to be on a shirt, man.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. So right now, what is taking up a lot of your time? Just the protests, a lot of the voters, like, rallies that you're doing?
Okay, so right now, protest-wise, I'm done with that. That was yesterday, so that took a lot of weight and stress off of my head. And with less than 100 days left, my primary focus is getting people out to vote.
Yeah.
Leading people to the resources they can to vote, looking for volunteers. I'm really trying to get like a bunch of people to go out to, you know, Albertsons, Vons, stand outside of these grocery stores, go get door to door, and just start, you know, because you could move. A lot of people move, like, even as long as I've lived here in Long Beach, I've lived on the north side, east side, the west side, like, you know, and what a lot of people don't realize is each time you move, you're supposed to re-register. You're supposed to change your address because your polling place has changed. And so I just want to get that education out there and let these people know, like, hey, register to vote. Even if you think you're registered, are you registered? Do you know where to go?
Yeah.
You know, and I want to lead them to Caravan for Justice. I want to lead them to, you know, Radical Love, LB. I want to lead them to LB Resources and things like that, because Long Beach can do better, you know? Yeah. We can do better, we can unite. North Long Beach is like a completely different city.
Oh, yeah.
We're on North Long Beach.
And we're north side, yeah.
We're in the north side.
Yeah, and it's time that we unify. It's like when people think of Long Beach, they only think of ocean up to Pine and like 7th, and then that's it. Yeah.
It's like everything above Spring is like, it's different.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's Signal Hill already. We don't gotta worry about them, they're fine. But no,
yeah,
you got the whole nurse.
That whole uptown Long Beach over there on Atlantic and Artesia, I'm like, no,
yeah,
guys, no.
Nah.
Yeah. We're actually we're like 5 minutes away from Atlantic and Artesia.
Yeah,
we're just like right here.
There's still the north side. There's still a lot of work to be done just within our neighborhood.
Yeah,
you know?
A lot. I used to live right out there by Jordan High School.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's an initiative going on to change the name of Jordan High School, and you know, I support that because, you know, it's those little things that we can change now that will affect the future of our society.
Yeah.
You know, just the oppression alone, going to an institution that has the namesake of someone who was racist, you know, is oppressing itself, you know, and then, any small changes is change, and I'll take it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's, we got to keep our head up and keep doing that, you know, so it's definitely,
I'm glad that you bring up the topic of, like, oppression just within our community, as in, like, the monuments and the buildings that we have in our city, you know? And people find that, like, no, this is part of the community now. It's like, well, you got to think about who this person represents and what their legacy was. Do you really want that to represent, like, the community that you live in or the community that you want to thrive in, or someone that we admire to put up in our school that it was someone that was racist against either your people or people that surround you?
Yeah.
I was like, does that make sense?
Yeah. Right. Like, look, there's tons of Latin American heroes. There's tons of African American heroes. There's tons of Cambodian American heroes whose names should be on these buildings.
Exactly.
Right? Why are we memorializing these radical racists? You know, why are we giving them breath? You know, like, we're just embedding the racism and allowing it to be entangled in our upbringing without even realizing it's symbolic, or not even symbolic. What's the word I'm looking for? It's brain fart. It's like when they show you something in between clips
hypnotizing.
Dang,
brainwashing, and it's like,
Kind of like brainwashing, but there's a word that starts with Oh well.
we'll figure it out towards like the end of it. And
yeah.
Like, oh, that was a word.
After it, I'll be like, oh. But it's basically you see it without realizing you see it.
Yeah.
And because
subliminal there, like messages.
Subliminal.
Yeah.
Nice.
Got you.
There you go. Subliminal. It's subliminal racism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never really thought about it that way. When it's
a lot of people don't think about it like that, you know. But every time you go down Martin Luther King Drive, or every time there's Martin Luther King, it instills and reaffirms his name and his message in you. And so it does the same when you go to Jefferson High School. It does the same when you go to, you know, anything named after any kind of Confederate. You know?
That's actually like really deep.
That's true.
I've never really thought about it that way.
Yeah, whenever I pass Martin Luther King, I like think about Martin Luther King.
Yeah, it's like, it's like, okay, cool.
But there's also a way that you have to be careful on like how you use those names. Or like, yeah, we're glorifying like people that they've named these streets after, but who are the people that live on those streets? Who do we automatically think live on those streets? You know?
Yeah.
So why not have it where you don't have to think about the people that live on the streets. You just have people there. That's also another subtle form of racism. And I believe that in the most respectful and disrespectful way that I can say it, we're all racist because of the society that we're brought up in today in this country. Because
actually,
it's brought up. Yeah. You're brought up in that way.
Well, it's funny because like now that you bring that up, I've actually had an experience like that before where I was at my old job. I was the barista that day. And a guy walks in, he's like skater dude, like, he looked like a skater surfer dude, like super, like he was just like out there for like, just skating, whatever. And he comes in and orders his coffee, he's waiting by the bar, and he's like, and he talked about like, hey, I'm not from around here, but this street over here, Martin Luther King like street or whatever, right? Like MLK like street, it's really nice over here. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's really nice over here, yeah. And he's like, yeah, but usually that road is like, I hear really bad things about it. Like, it's just like really ghetto. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. And I had just barely moved out here. So I was just like, you know, I'm like,
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Like, I just come to work right now. I don't know. Like, but it was just, so that actually makes me think of that perspective, right? Where it's like, he was just sitting here talking about that. That road is just like known for like being like really ghetto or hood or whatever you want to call it, you know? And I'm like, I don't know what happened after, but it made me think about that experience.
Yeah, even Jay and Beyonce, in their last album they did together, the Carters, they brought it up, and I forgot what song it was, where, like, a main part of the hook is, like, I'm good on every MLK Boulevard, you know? I'm good. That's my people. And that's, like, how you can, the power of what you name things really transcends just your own community.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's an image.
Yeah. That's crazy, yeah. That's a good point to bring up.
That's true. That's so true. Even with us, you know, we fall into our names. You know, like, you know, people that, all Anthony's are like that. I'm like,
We have, like, a couple cousins that are named Anthony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anthony's...
Yeah, like, they all talk too much.
Okay. Hey, that isn't a bad thing, though. That is
not
a
bad thing.
I've heard that before. It's okay.
That's good. Be like, well, you're welcome that I talk a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking now.
Call it Anthony-itis in my family.
Anthony-itis. Yeah, that's awesome. That's funny. Well, you embrace that Anthony-itis, man.
Exactly.
Embrace it.
I love to talk. I'm like, anytime I can't give you the megaphone, the microphone, I'll scream out loud, you know?
Yes. That's awesome.
I love it.
Do you have future plans with more protests, besides the one on the first that you were talking about with Urban Coalition? Is there other ones that you have planned out, or?
Along with the voter informed.
Okay, so yeah, my primary focus is voting, but as far as other marches and protests, they'll be coming soon. I definitely want to do something right next to Jordan High School.
Yeah.
I want to do something for North Long Beach, but the problem is, like, the turnout. When you try to do something in North Long Beach, it's not as big as, you know, like, if you do something in downtown Long Beach.
Yeah.
So that's really what I'm working on right now, is to reach out on how to reach out, which day would fit, you know, because I want to tie it in with my voting, kind of like a get out and vote North Long Beach kind of march or rally, where we can, like, go maybe start off at that park, walk down to South, or maybe Market, and then back up to that park, come on Harding or something.
Yeah.
Just really cause some distraction, some disturbance for, you know, the community up there, and draw some attention, some awareness to the issues that are proliferating in North Long Beach, you know, and hear some voices from people in North Long Beach. You know, like I always say at all my events, all are welcome, and I truly mean that. I truly mean that. And you know, my partner was born and raised in Guadalajara, Jalisco.
Wow.
So you know, like, yeah, it's close to home. My best friend Zane Flores, you know, Hispanic. I mentioned earlier, I have Salvadorian black nephews, Mexican and black nephew as well, and it's like, I don't want to be that guy who's like, I know someone Mexican, you know, but
yeah, yeah.
I want it to be understood that it's part of my life also,
yeah,
and
sure,
they're a part of my community as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, our struggles are all together. Even if you don't have anyone of Mexican or black relatives, you know, our fight is all together, and we're stronger in numbers.
Yeah.
We're all just people at the end of the day.
We need to protest all police brutality, and we need to stand up for communities that are underdeveloped, like North Long Beach, and neglected, like North Long Beach,
you know? Yeah, definitely. I think the 2 years I've lived here, I've, like, looked at North Long Beach, where it's definitely underdeveloped, and, like, there's not as, like, how you were saying, it's not going to have, like, you know, the protest yesterday, you were downtown on Ocean Boulevard, like, I mean, that's, when you think of Long Beach, it's like, oh, downtown Long Beach, you know, like, yep, downtown by
the Pike,
yeah, exactly, it's, which is, like, understandable, you know, when I think of LA, you know, I think about, like, downtown, like, LA, like, I don't think about these little other spots in, like, LA, like, that I grew up going to, and it's like, all right, and so definitely North Long Beach is, like, one of those little spots where we've been going on walks a lot lately since the pandemic started. Well, I'll join in as much as I can, and we'll walk around this neighborhood, and we'll go to, like, Harding, like, we'll go to, we've tried going all the way to the park at some point, and there's a lot of people, like, Latinx roots, and, like, people of color, and it's a lot of, like, older people, too. Like, it's a lot of older people, and they look comfortable. They look like, you know, we've had passed by their house, say hi, you know,
nice,
good night, you know, and so super, like, welcoming. And it's like, why doesn't a lot of things happen over here?
Yeah.
You know, the only thing I see happening over here right now is, you know, they just built on Artesia and Atlantic, they built that. It's gonna be like a common room or something like that. It's like, it's like, man,
the uptown Long Beach thing.
Yeah, and I'm like, man, we need some more.
It
local
seems so out of place.
Out here.
It seems so out of place. You know?
Yeah.
It really does.
But really, it's not out of place. What we need to understand is, it's the government sending the citizens a message, right? Through their gentrification. That is the society that they want, right? And so we, the people, need to let the government know the society we want is the society that we're going to create.
We're not a cookie-cutter community.
We don't need a Starbucks on every corner. We don't need a Starbucks on every corner. You know?
It's true.
But what we, maybe every other corner, because I do like Starbucks. But,
we're drinking it, too.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of great people in the city of Long Beach who need investment to start their own companies.
Yeah.
We have a lot of local entrepreneurs who need a chance, you know, and that's what our community government should be doing.
Yeah.
You know, instead of giving these tax breaks to big companies to come in and to hopefully drive some business into a struggling area, instead invest in that struggling area and those people within it to open up their own shops, their own coffee shops, their own bookstores, their own places. So that not only does that neighborhood get that traffic that you wanted, and
it also rinses it from all the,
but it's also incentivized.
Yeah.
The people living in that community are reaping the benefit as well.
Exactly.
You know?
That's how you rinse a community from all the hate and just crime that really comes through it, is that you got to give people a chance to actually be more than what they're told to be.
Yeah. I like, we've had him on the episode before. It's his name's Carlos, but they call him Chuck, from Good People Coffee, and he's like on the borderline of Sawtelle and Santa Monica, but he's right there on Santa Monica pretty much, and he has a little coffee shop, and he's all about his culture, you know. He's Mexican-American, I believe, right? Mexican-American, and he's like, he has, like, you go into his coffee shop and you feel like the culture in there, and you feel welcomed, and you feel like you know, just at home, at least for me, like, you feel homey, like, it's nice in there, you know, and not only because, oh, the aesthetic, no, it's, like, just the vibe, you know, that he brings to that coffee shop, and something like that, I think those are things that are really, like, would be great around here, you know, where it's, like, not necessarily, I mean, the coffee shop's just an example, but things like that, you know, where it's, like, my mom won't go to Starbucks by herself. My mom won't go to, like, a specialty coffee shop that's, like, really aesthetically pleasing and all this just because it looks pretty. No, she's going to go into a coffee shop if she sees somebody that she's comfortable with, that she sees that is, like, her neighbor and be like, oh, okay, they speak Spanish. Like, I'm going to go, you know? Like, oh, they're selling some conchas. Like, I'm going to go in, you know? Like, so it's, like, having to be able to provide and birth that type of, like, comfortability in our own neighborhoods, I think is something that we should definitely start doing. And it is hard. I mean, somebody, like, for my example, like, I find it really scary to, like, start a business, but I know it's been, like, knocking at my door. It's been knocking at my door. And, but it's just, like, the thought of, like, failing, the thought of, like, really investing so much, not only money, but time and, like, energy and effort into it. It's, like, what if this fails? But it's, like, how do you... Go ahead.
I don't mean to cut you off. No. I don't mean to cut you off, but yeah, it's even more intimidating being a woman of color.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, because who's gonna, you know, it's gonna be hard to find that capital. You know, it's gonna be, you know, definitely I can see that intimidation, but I wanna encourage you to do it.
Yeah.
You
know, it's definitely scary, but like being able to like meet people like you and like have a team like Sal and Melanie and like my sister, like being able to have a community or like Radical Love, you know, they've been like talking about Carla open a co-op coffee shop or just tossing ideas, you know, things like that. And I'm like, all I think about in my head is North Long Beach. Like really, like, yeah, we have Black Ring Coffee that's like 10 minutes away from here. We have Wolf's Brew, which is owned by Guatemalan owned, which is awesome, but that's in Lakewood. Then we have Calabro, which is also in Lakewood. So it's like North Long Beach, where is this at? Like, we got three Starbucks in like
within, we got three Starbucks within 5 minutes of each other
that were built within the past year.
Yeah. Within the past year, and they're building another one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous. They want to bring in all this capitalism, all these corporate companies, right, to come in and continue to oppress the people who live in those communities.
Yeah,
they're gonna fire you if you're 5 minutes late. They're gonna hound you about not having the right uniform because you can't already afford it. It's crazy.
Yep, it is very true.
It's ridiculous.
Well, it's because you know these people are like pretty much pulling in like these like people that are scared to start their own business, people that are scared to invest in certain things. And it's like, hey, don't be scared. I got a job for you. And I mean, and I've given props verbally to Starbucks on podcasts before where it's like, I give them props, you know, because they're paying like above minimum wage. They're giving us school. They're giving us benefits. And I give them props for that. Like as an, like me personally, an employee of Starbucks, like I'm sustainable, like, you know, I'm living a sustainable lifestyle because they're providing, like, a good financial, like,
stability.
Yeah, yeah. They're giving you backing.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to...
No, go ahead.
I'm not trying to clown on Starbucks or anything. I'm just using that as an example because there are so many of them. But a lot of these things we don't realize too is a lot of these locations are like franchised out, and that can change the condition of you know employment for each employee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
and each owner of that franchise.
Starbucks is learning. Starbucks is on a learning curve though. Yeah. That they're one of the one corporations that is willing to learn.
Yeah.
You know they had the big scandal not too long ago
about
with
the BLM
the names are putting the cups.
Yep.
And they actually. Put their employees through sensitivity training, you know. So I have to applaud Starbucks, you know, in their ability to learn. But whether or not we need a Starbucks on every corner is a different conversation. And
for sure.
I really feel like you, if you want to open a coffee shop, that you need to open a coffee shop. Like,
for sure.
People of color not only struggle with whether or not to make their dream a reality, but it's, do I dare to dream or do I try to survive?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, because that big issue is that making that capital. You know,
yeah.
How do you invest that time in trying to create a company when you need to actually go to work every day of the week? You
yeah.
know, like, how do you set aside that time to create something when you're already obligated and enslaved by your lifestyle?
Yeah, yeah, and that's and I think that's where people get that fear.
Yeah.
You know, they're like,
yeah.
No, then I won't do it. You know, I can't. I'll be right here.
But if
that's
you
good.
Don't, who will?
Exactly. And that's where I'm
yeah.
like, you know, this is like coming alive so much. And I mean, aside from like my perspective, like there's so many things that I like, even when I talk to friends or family, I'm like, you got to do it. Like, who else is going to do it? You know, like,
yeah.
we got to go vote for my mom and dad. Like, they can't vote. You know, we got to go like build this because they came here like, and they busted their ass off to, like, get us to go to school or get us educated or get us to this, like, you know, the royalty that we are, you know? It's
yeah.
like we can't think any less of ourselves.
No.
Because we...
Just, yeah, my grandmother came to this country. When my grandma came to this country, she, like, was in love with American culture.
Mm-hmm.
But then she found herself falling in love with a black man.
Mm.
And... She, throughout my life, she would tell me, like, the kind of hatred that she faced being in a white lady, well, not white, but being a French woman who was with a black man. And all they saw was black and white and the discrimination, you know. And but in the midst of all that, she was able to keep her underlying goal, you know, that she wanted her children and her children's children to be successful. And that's why she came here. Was for opportunity.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people miss out on that, you know, if you're privileged enough to have family members or parents who have came to this country.
Yeah.
Willingly.
Yeah.
I want to emphasize that willingly because you know, a lot of people want to say black people were immigrants, but we were never brought here willingly.
Nope.
Yeah.
You know, we were brought here against our will. So
exactly.
I want to just put that on the record.
Definitely.
But when you come here willingly, that determination is instilled in their children, and it's amazing. I just want to like just point that out. Like I noticed that with Fernando, you know, and I noticed that with myself and with my grandmother as well. And hearing you say that just made me want to just give a shout out to people who are kids to people who came from another country.
For sure.
I digress.
No, for sure. I think that's definitely like, thanks for like also bringing that up, you know, coming here to this country willingly. Like, I think that's sometimes we forget about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, like they didn't like African American or people from Africa didn't come here just to like, oh, I'm going to go be a slave. Like,
they didn't
no,
come here for the
you
American
know,
dream.
No, they were stolen. No, they were stolen.
Yeah.
And made.
Kanye says.
Yeah. It's just like making like. You know, just unwillingly, so.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's definitely, I really, like.
We can't put people in a bubble thinking that they all have the same story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Cool.
Well, Anthony, I want to thank you for being on the show. You brought a lot of insight and a lot of great resources for us to look into.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that very much for coming on, especially on short notice.
Yeah.
And let us know if you need anything from us that you want us to help you out with, or just let us know if you need us to spread the word on something. You know?
Yeah, especially with the your voters caravan that's happening. We're here in North Long Beach.
This is our neighborhood.
This is our neighborhood. You know, yeah, like we would love to as well. Like, be educated. Like, what should we know about North Long Beach? You know, especially like, I mean, I haven't lived here my whole life. I just moved here, so it's like I'm always wanting to know more. And you know, we're here. This is essentially my only home,
so
or either,
I want
right?
to learn about it.
We are, like, Melanie and Sal, they're always taking walks, and, I mean, if you have posters you want us to, like, hand out, like, hey, you know, we're here, and...
Let me know.
Yeah, we're in this together, you know? We gotta keep fighting, and until things start changing, you know? And still, the fight never ends, though. It's still...
Never
You know,
ends.
we're growing. We're human beings, and we're growing, so...
Well, thank you, Melanie, Sal... And Carla, thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure. It's been a great opportunity. I just want to, if I can, stress one more time that Black issues and Latinx issues are both important to me, yes. And they need to be both important to each other. As people of color, if we can unify and come together, we'll be much stronger and much louder.
Definitely. I love that. I love that. Well, Anthony, thank you. I really appreciate it. And like I said, let us know if you need anything. So,
thank you.
All right. All right, Anthony. Bye. We'll see you. Take care. Well, va pues.
Vámonos.